Hey there, welcome to the podcast. And finally, with me, it took some time, but Belma, our head of AI at SAS Group, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Anna. Super happy to be here. And as we said, like super happy to finally be doing this and chatting with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a lot to chat. I mean, honestly, I don't remember the last time I had a podcast not about AI. And I mean, it's been a blast. It's been, you know, very different opinions too. So some would say we do try it, but we don't see it in our products, in our company really deeply in the nearest future. And some say, oh my God, if you're not doing everything with AI, you're already missing out. And, you know, we kind of, I remember when we started doing anything with AI at SAS Group, kind of the mindset was, okay, we're already behind. How do we catch up with everybody? And there was so much confusion about, you know, who are we behind? What are we doing wrong? Everyone has just started. But I think at the end of the day, because we kind of jumped right into it and decided to do it on all fronts and try it everywhere, and we were kind of given that leverage and trust to apply AI whenever we see fit, it paid off. The end of the day, and you know, with your help, of course. But you know, before we start, maybe your background, you know, how you got to do AI.
Yeah, interesting story. Actually, I started my career because I'm engineer at heart and by education. So I started my career in a completely different field as embedded software developer, meaning working on hardware and with those small bits and whatnot. And then at the same time, I was also teaching at university one of the course, and I've been doing that for 4 years. At the beginning of my career, one of the courses that involved a lot of data, a lot of signals processing, and I realized that that's actually where my passion lies now in embedded software development. So I made quite a jump from bits to big data, more or less literally, and I started my AI career, gosh, already 10 years ago, so long before ChatGPT, and at a time where AI was this naughty word you shouldn't be using, where everybody was like, we are building some in-house statistical models and you shouldn't be saying that you're doing AI, so completely different world. But yes, I was happy enough to be on my first job to be working on the state-of-the-art things and fell in love with NLP, natural language processing, and honestly never looked back. And I feel that I've been in the same field for 10 years, but I feel that my career has changed for 20 times and like 15 of those in the last 2 years, just because of the pace of everything. But yes, that's how it started 10 years ago. I don't know whether you're interested in details, but one thing I will mention that I still feel that jump that I did early in my career is probably best decision I made, not because of the AI of today, but because even back then, 10 years ago, AI or machine learning or however we called it back then, was truly able to shift and improve people's lives. And that's something I'm passionate till day.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Thank you for sharing. And, you know, I'm going to jump right in because that's something people want to know. And, you know, what's your take on it? Is anyone truly behind these days?
Yes and no. I mean, as you know, as I keep repeating at SAS Group, like there is no wrong way of doing it. I know that people, and I'm hoping that that has changed a little bit for us at SAS Group, but I know that people over the world are afraid that they are doing it wrong or that they are not doing enough, let's put it that way. But we all need to remind ourselves that ChatGPT moment happened like 3 years ago. And at that point, it was honestly like almost unusable to some extent. So there is no being behind in a sense that you are not doing something good, but you are behind if you haven't even tried it. So I feel honestly with all of the tools that we have today, and we'll probably be chatting about it, but for me, AI is still a tool, super powerful one, but still a tool. And with all the tools out there, I feel that every single person, regardless of what they do for a job, regardless of what they do in their private lives, could find something where their life could be easier and better with the help of AI. So if you're still in this mindset that AI is a bubble that is going to go away, I feel that then, yes, you are behind. You need to open your eyes a little bit more and really try it out. And I don't want to say that everybody should be super optimistic about AI the way I am. We definitely need still skeptics and pessimists to make sure that we do this AI thing right. Because as I said, we are still at the beginning. We have a long path in front of us as society. But even if you have this skeptic mindset about AI, it's not the time to put your hand in the sand. That's how you're behind and how you're failing. It's about being a part of conversation to make sure that we do this right.
I'm interested, you know, because you've been doing it for a long time and you understand, you know, how it actually works. Is there anywhere where you draw the line and you're like, okay, maybe that, no. AI, not so much.
Important decision making. So what I always say is don't outsource your judgment. I mean, AI is incredible. It's this newest model can honestly help me think harder and better than I ever had, just because we can tap in the best experts in the world in the topic that we want to think about. But when it comes to actual judgment, we need to understand that these are still probabilistic models, and these are just next token predictors. I mean, there is a lot behind there, so I don't want to just to leave it at that, but we need to take into account that these models or these tools should never replace our judgment, especially on the critical and important decisions. So I know that everybody has some not so important things, some unimportant email that we can completely delegate to AI, or something that is just boring, doesn't have any impact, that it's okay for us to delegate, maybe just slightly check. But when it comes to important decisions, again, we need to understand that these are models, probabilistic ones. They're not here to think for you. They are here to help you think better. So important decisions, big no for AI.
I remember there was a reel on Instagram or TikTok where somebody said, I don't want AI to do my creative job. I want AI to do my laundry.
Yes.
You know, I'm honestly there as well. Is there anything that you secretly want AI to do for you?
Secretly what?
Yes.
Yes. All the house chores, please.
Yeah, but that's exactly where I draw the line. Like, because, you know, somebody told me there is this robot that does stuff for you. But if it doesn't know how to, there is a dude somewhere that will hook up to the camera in that robot and basically go around your house. And I'm like, okay, no, because we don't know when the dude is going away, or maybe he's always there. I don't know. That's too much.
Completely agree. And by the way, like, also my background is I had a master's degree in mobile robotics. So from that perspective, like AI, I don't want to say ruling because that's too harsh, but let's say that it's doing amazing stuff in the digital world. But we have a long path to conquer the physical one. So robotics, I'm a huge fan and I'm passionate about the future of robotics and AI. But honestly, I feel that that's the one where we have some things to do before we can use those robots for house chores.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, another thing that I wanted to ask, and I think, again, something that founders are really struggling with is, you know, how on LinkedIn from time to time, someone will post, okay, this is my operating model and this is my team. And there is a, you know, king of AI and then the little AI servants. And, you know, people are freaking out because on the one hand, you know, people who work for SaaS companies think, okay, am I going to be replaced? And founders think, okay, am I missing out not adopting this giant agent system? So what do you think about that? Can operating SaaS can really be outsourced to an agent? And again, where are we missing out?
To some extent. So first of all, again, I don't like how much of those that noise we have on LinkedIn and everywhere nowadays about AI that makes people afraid of it. And again, a little bit skeptical and pushy just because they're afraid. And I know it's been repeated number of times, but number of people, but I strongly believe AI is not going to replace you. I mean, it's a tool, it's not going to replace you, but the person using AI will. And I think we will be seeing that a lot more this year as well, just because of the amazing impact a person can have by using that AI, but using those agents, etc. So to some extent, and we've seen that, I mean, Cloud Code, Codex, and everything that's happening with those agents in coding last year, we see how much powerful they are. And I also see it because I build a bunch of those. As you know, I'm also a builder at heart. So I know the power that it can have, but it cannot replace the entire teams and humans. Just as I said, like there is just this big piece of human judgment and human expertise. Some pieces, yes, like we all know, and we've been discussing this a lot. And as you know, at SAS Group, we all have these boring tasks that can now easily be delegated and fully taken over by AI. And I feel that's something where majority of SAS companies is missing out. So don't go replace your whole engineering team. Don't go replace your whole product team just because somebody needs to have that expertise and right thinking. But if there is a way to help out those teams, or for example, even better example, maybe there is so much way to help out customer support and customer success. There are already a bunch of really cool solutions out there that you can even adjust to your processes so that they can take over all of those boring stuff and leave the human part to humans where it comes to actually jumping on a call and discussing with clients to make sure that their true needs and problems are addressed. So as I said, kind of, I know it's a little bit vague, but in a way, yes and no. Everybody should, I feel, jump on this. If you haven't started, definitely do start. Make sure that everybody in your company gets to that aha moment that you have been chasing so hard at SAS Group. And after that, like, as I said, 2026 is going to be bigger than ever. And it's going to become a year where those agentic system will be able to help out teams. So not taking over the entire functions, I don't think we are there yet. At the end of the day, we shouldn't be there yet. I'm all about replacing the jobs that never should have existed, that don't involve any creativity, any judgment, that are just manual processes all the way. And I hope that AI at some point will get to that, but we're not there yet. It's incredible. We are at the moment where I'm super excited and a little bit terrified, to be honest. So I think that yes, agentic systems should be driving orchestration on a bunch of these teams and entire companies, but all of those stories, like I'm going to run the entire company with just agents, I don't think we are there yet.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe run entire companies, but not so well. But all right. So, you know, as you mentioned, we do work quite a lot with the SAS Group, with all the brands, to try and include AI in all the processes, maybe not all the processes, but a lot of them. And, you know, I think we maybe should discuss how we do that, you know, a bit more hands-on. Because like I said, when this whole AI movement started, it was just about, okay, now let's take AI and use it. And everyone was a little bit overwhelmed because, hey, I mean, let's be honest, right? You have your job, you've been doing it, and you've been doing it well, and you have your own processes, and changing behavior is one of the most difficult things to do. So at first we were like deer in the headlights, like, what are we doing? Which tools are we allowed to use? Which tools are good? Which tools are not? So it was a bit of a mess, but we started anyway. So, you know, maybe let's tell the audience a little bit about how we got out of there and how we created the processes where people feel not only empowered to use AI, but they also understand that this is a part of their job now, and learning AI is encouraged on, you know, a day-to-day basis.
Yes, as you know, Anna, lots of to unpack there. So maybe let's start with what I feel the most important bit, and where I feel that some companies are failing, starting from AI. So let's use this AI and let's use this AI tool for something. I think that means you failed at the start. So what we tried really hard is to make sure that we are AI empowered, meaning that AI is not the main character of the story, human still is. And as I said, AI is there to help you out. So we started from that, like it's your obligation, but you are also enabled to make sure that AI works for you. And the most important bit was having this clarity, because I mean, change management, as with anything else, is the most important, most difficult part, I would say. But for AI, I feel it has so many layers. Just because of all of this that we just discussed, people are so afraid, like, what does it mean for my job? What does it mean for my career? Whether my creative parts or the part of the job that I enjoy is gonna go away? What does it even mean to be a human in today in this AI era? I feel that for us, the most important bit is try to remove that fear away. So that's what we try to do. I'm really passionate and I'm grateful that SaaS Group has truly approached to this, that we want to empower every single SaaS groupies. You know, women and men left behind. AI is not here to replace you or replace your job. AI is here to empower you. After that, second most important bit in my eyes is leading by example, and that leaders must lead. So we cannot say like every single person at SaaS Group needs to do this AI thing, whatever that means, but leaders and managers don't have time for it, like just doesn't work. So I've been really hard, as you know, on our leaders, like make sure that it starts from you, that you are using AI daily, that you are showing your team how are using it, and that you are encouraging your team to use it. And I think that's the third maybe layer, it's time. As you said, we are all super busy and it's really hard to squeeze in this AI thing in our workday, and it's especially hard to squeeze it in our personal lives. So what we really try is to make sure that everybody has time, it's permitted to use time, but it's also, and what I'm trying to push a little bit more harder is not only encouraged, but maybe even pushed to use that time. Because again, we know that we are busy. So if we have some learning slot in our calendar, if something comes along, we'll probably just skip that. But it's so important to use that time. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I said it multiple times, but you cannot get to that aha moment by just hearing about AI, by just learning, going through some course. You really need to sit with it and get to a aha moment, and then you will see how AI can work for you, because it's not going to be the same for everybody. And I think that's also something that companies need to understand. This time is also investment. I mean, giving people a couple of hours per week is an investment, but the investment that's going to pay off in my eyes best than anything else, just because it's kind of weird. I've been thinking a lot about AI at the beginning of this year, and it has so many weird alignments in a way. And I feel that the work-related one is probably a big one, because this is, in my eyes, the first time in the history of work where our personal career goals are fully aligned with the company goals, like honestly. And it's weird that that goal is the same for each role. So something that anybody can do, what is best for them, for their own careers as individuals and for their companies, is to get better at AI and pull their teammate next to them with them as well. And I think that fourth one is then having something that will fill out that time. Because just given time, some of us will do great, will go and build something and use that time. Some will be lost just because maybe they're at the beginning, they don't even know what to pick from all the billions resources out there and all the claims out there. So learning and sharing is super important. So as you know, we have huge Notion pages with a bunch of resources. We have daily sessions, different ones for different tooling, but also different processes and different roles. And what I'm most passionate about and grateful about SaaS Group is that we have 25 plus brands that are kind of different companies, but that they are all going through the same things. And we have this amazing opportunity to learn 25x times together to make sure that we don't reinvent the wheel, but actually move together. On top of that, there are hackathons and all the other things that how can we use actually for this time given for AI.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thanks for sharing that. I mean, as part of the group as well, I can totally agree with what you're saying. I think just giving time would have been, I mean, still beneficial probably, right? But giving resources and like kind of pulling people in a certain direction, I know it's frowned upon to say top down, but sometimes it's good. You know, I honestly enjoyed that there was, you know, AI team that went somewhere and picked some resources. And, you know, like you said, we're free to choose, because some of them, let's be honest, were very theoretical for me, for example. Mm-hmm. I like to look at things and kind of, you know, see how it's done and then implement it right away and see, you know, if I can break it as I go. So that was amazing. And, you know, while, like you said, we're building something, a lot of SaaS companies, the SaaS brands that we own, are in the fairly the same position and are solving very similar problems. So, you know, if one brand is building an N8N automation for something, we're absolutely free to go and see how they're doing it. And that was, again, so beneficial for me because honestly, when I first saw N8N, terrified, still terrified, but a little less because it's just so many moving parts. And yeah, when I saw that you guys were doing this automation webinar or, you know, called whatever, co-learning session, I was really, really excited about that. I didn't go to the live one. No, I didn't. And I didn't allocate my, you know, official AI learning time to it. But yeah, I just did it in my own time, my own pace. But yeah, totally helpful. But yeah, I was, you know, I was also wondering if you can talk a little bit about, you know, how the brands in the portfolio are using it. Because, you know, like we said, some are choosing to go a little bit deeper. I mean, we have Zenloop that presented 2.0 Zenloop completely powered with AI. But, you know, they have a CTO who's absolutely crazy about it. So, you know, it only makes sense. But we also have brands that are a little more skeptical about it and do it more on, you know, the operational level. So, you know, there is a lot more marketing done with AI or, you know, they automate their work days. So yeah, can you share, you know, how brands decide, you know, and where, you know, our entire kind of independence vision, what kind of role it plays here?
Yes, amazing question. And still so much to unravel there. So I'm going to touch upon a few things probably. So one thing, as you said, like all of our brands are on different level when it comes to individual AI enablement and when it comes to maturity of AI and product. So because of that, our approach is still kind of individual brands, but we are here to support and guide as much as we can. And we are here as brands to learn from each other. So I think it's important to emphasize that once again. But when it comes to how much AI in product, let's say, because that's the part that we haven't talked about that much, I think it's even though it's different, like we, you know, that we approach the AI enablement on the individual level and how we work, and we also have how we put AI in products. But I think that what is the same is the mindset. And for me, for both, the biggest mindset is, again, not about AI, but what AI can bring us. So when it comes to individual empowerment, what I ask everybody, I mean, I've been repeating this so much, I think every SaaS group is dreaming this sentence, but I've been really pushing for people to ask themselves, how can AI help me do this better? And going to 2026, we'll be asking, how can AI help my team do this better? And then my company, and then us as a SaaS group, just because we need to start from there and then think how AI can help best. When it comes to product, I think it's even more important. So what I'm also really passionate about and what I'm pushy about is not AI for the sake of AI. Let's not just sprinkle AI where it doesn't make sense. Let's take a step back and understand that we have these enormous powers at our fingertips, and we have the ability now to think big, to think about impact, and to think about what is so important that I need to solve via my brand, via my company, that was just impossible before AI. And if we come from that, asking that ourselves that, then I think like all the skepticism about AI and everything doesn't really matter that much, because as you know, everybody at SaaS Group is so passionate about their company and what they're building for the world. And when you come from the impact, then when that's where all the pieces come together. And after that, I'm here, and I think that's also one of the powers from SaaS Group, that we have central AI team, and I'm just a part of it, that our brand leaders, after they come up, or our product folks, after they come up with this big why and wow, what, and this big vision, then we talk with them to understand whether AI is the right solution, because I'll be the first one to say, okay, that's amazing, but you don't need AI for that. Like, let's not put AI where it doesn't belong. But more often than not, nowadays, just because, again, AI is becoming so powerful, we do can solve so many things we couldn't even dream about before. And with that, most of our brands are moving to that this direction, not AI because of the sake of AI, but AI for the impact. And for some of our brands, as you know, if that's going to mean something new with AI in the product, but for some others, it maybe doesn't make sense to have actual AI features in the product, but it makes sense to shift in a way that supports this new AI era world that we are living for. I mean, Keyword, and for example, comes to mind, and Seeability as well, where now they are kind of supporting the old school SEO, but AEO as well, just because that's what world needs right now. And we in a way have obligation to do it. And I mean, I don't want to list all of our brands because they are all doing amazing things. But also, for example, AdSearch comes to mind. And just today, they are launching, having a webinar for launching their conversational AI. They just figured out, like, we are doing amazing things in search. And now with this AI, the search is changing. So instead of, or on top of only the old school search, now we can have AI answers. And after that, we can have a conversational AI where users can come and ask the questions that they are interested in for the particular website. So again, long story, it's different, but some things never change. Like, you need to come from the impact. And what I also, just to finish, what I also like to always say is, with AI, we have this enormous, I don't know, I get chills thinking about it, but we have this opportunity to make sure that our users have superpowers just by using our products. And when you think of that, how much ability and how much responsibility we have to use that, I think everybody comes in line and figure out that they do need to address this AI thing via products as well, one way or another.
Right. I think I forgot to ask you one question, because it's not very often that I get people on the podcast that, you know, come from that kind of background. But, you know, when we're talking about AI today, like, what do you mean by AI? What's AI for you?
This episode is sponsored by Rewardful. Looking for new ways to find customers for your SaaS business? Consider building an affiliate program. Rewardful is the easiest affiliate tracking platform to set up, manage, and scale for SaaS companies. Building a successful affiliate program can be a little bit intimidating at first, and that's why Rewardful has taken what they've observed from their most successful customers' affiliate programs and distilled that into an exclusive online course. The exciting part? Their affiliate marketing course is absolutely free. Start the course at academy.rewardful.com. Academy.rewardful.com. And turn your biggest fans into your best marketers.
Still all the same. So for me, AI are all of these machine learning models. So for me, maybe engineering background, maybe the fact how many of them I actually built. But for me, we are talking about models. So nowadays, it's mostly LLMs. But also, like I forgot to mention, also when it comes to us thinking about how to implement AI within our products, it doesn't necessarily mean LLMs. Like, the AI is this entire toolkit of dozens of different family of models. I mean, nowadays, LLMs are usually the best answer to most of these, but sometimes maybe it's just good old linear regression, which means that you have a really simple model that can run on your CPU, not to go into technicalities. But at the end of the day, that's still AI in a sense. So for me, the models and then the systems around them are probably the most important bit, because we touched upon agentic systems a lot, but there are a lot of other systems where LLM is just one piece, and to make it truly work for you, you have to build a lot of additional pieces around it. But for me, it's the heart, the model itself.
Okay. All right. Makes great sense. So, you know, it's all great. We are doing amazing things. I mean, I use AI every day, honestly, and it's been really great help when it's something. I love how I had Ilya from Juma here, former Team GPT that we also used at SaaS Group some time ago, founder, and I loved how he put it. He said, you know, AI will never substitute me as a host of the podcast, because I decide what kind of questions I want to ask, you know, I can follow up and blah, blah, blah. And it's about trust and creating relationships, but everything that goes after the editing, the posting, the copy, AI can do everything. It doesn't yet. I'm still too much of a control freak to let it do it as it is, but you know, it still does it and it still saves me so much time. But when it comes to AI in product, and I already notice it as just a user, you know, we only notice those big announcements. Okay, it's ChatGPT 5.0, or, you know, I'm not even sure which one it is now, but on the back end, it actually changes all the time. And I've talked to so many founders that said, yes, it's a real challenge and you cannot explain it to customers that, you know, the model is changing because it's not their problem. You know, you decided to work with that. So your goal is to create a great process and product. So yeah, how do you explain that to the brands? How do you work around it? And how do you set up any kind of guardrails or trust management systems?
Are we talking about the individual enablement and the tools that we are using, or the AI product in products and brands?
AI in product.
Yeah, so for that, I mean, and I know there is so much buzz and so much, again, noise as we have in AI today, but when it comes to building product with or without AI, the most important bit is the product and engineering discipline. And for example, you probably heard a lot about evals and important evals. And funny story, I've been chatting with my friend PM that, and we worked together long before ChatGPT era, where I was machine learning engineer, he was PM, and we always approach it in a way that when you're building machine learning model, you have train set, you have validation set, and you have final test set to make sure that your model is actually performing. And he was asking me like, what is this evals that everybody's talking about? Like, what's happening? And I said, like, she's just told, sorry, like, data set to measure your model. And it was like, but why is that such a big deal? That existed years ago. And I think that's something that people are missing. Like, this AI and building with AI is not something new. It definitely changed. And it changed, especially with LLMs that are harder to, I don't want to say predict, but harder to understand how they are actually working under the hood. But on top of that, there are a bunch of good practices on building these systems. So with that, I'm going to mention too, but I think that big advantage that we have at SaaS Group is, as you know, we have central AI team. It's 5 of us now. I have 4 amazing guys, and all of us have been in this AI field long before ChatGPT and have done it the old ways. So we know all the steps that needs to be done to deliver proper AI system. And for example, one is when you're using third-party model for any product that you're building, you need to set the proper version of the model. So for example, you know GPT 5 and 5.2 that we are using right now in our ChatGPT, but you can have the proper version of that model. And even though if OpenAI changes that version, they still call it GPT 5.2, but there is a different version on the backend. You're not affected just because you are using that specific version of that model. You tested it properly. So evils, I will say it, even though it's said so many times in the world. Super important. Like, you need to understand that you are building these probabilistic models, and there are steps that are different than building heuristic software where 1 + 1 is always 2. It's not for the AI. So that means you need to be even more diligent in testing thoroughly with building proper evaluation data set to know what to expect and how your model or your system is going to behave in the real world. So as I said, I don't want to go into the technicalities. There are a lot of important bits, but maybe the most important one is really thorough evaluation in a way that you are setting your system and testing your system for the real world. Because what I'm also seeing a lot kind of people are testing only the happy paths and something that any model nowadays could be really successful at. But you need to think from the real users, and you need to think from perspective that if there is some hole and some opportunity to break something, your system is going to do it. So from my perspective, like when it comes to all of it, it's not AI thinking is proper engineering discipline and proper product thinking. I don't want to say that it's easy. It's not. There are a lot of additional pieces to get it right. But at the end of the day, it's just proper building systems and designing them.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, thank you for not going into too much of a technical stuff. I would not be able to understand that probably. But, you know, we talked about how to not be behind in this AI race, how to stay ahead. Like, what are your personal playbooks, I don't know, strategies, systems, how to stay ahead, how to make sure, you know what's happening, where you want to implement AI, and, you know, where do you get inspiration?
Tough one. I feel like I'm human as everybody else, and I feel that, like, imposter syndrome has never been this hard as it has been for the last couple of months, just because I need to relearn everything I know every couple of months and forget a bunch of things that I know. And with that, kind of, there's too much out there. I'm gonna just say like that. So what I did actually at the beginning of this year, it's a little bit of cleansing. So I realized that I've been subscribed to so many newsletters that at some point when I was nervous, I was like thinking I'm gonna miss out if I don't have this one as well in my inbox. And I was just like, okay, less is more. Let's just remove all of that noise. So I have a bunch of go-tos. But I try to do what I preach. So I also am approaching everything that I do with this question to myself, how can AI help me do this better? So as you know, at SaaS Group, I have so many different hats I'm wearing. And honestly, I wouldn't be able to wear half of them without the help of AI. So whenever I'm repeating some boring task twice, I would ask myself, how can AI help me do this better? So I would add additional skills to Claude Code. I will create project in ChatGPT, or not doing that often because Claude is doing majority of this stuff, but I'm planning to spin off a lot of those N8N workflows as well. So kind of making it a part of my work. Everything that I do is AI empowered. And sometimes, again, I'm also human. Sometimes I'll just keep doing something manually because I don't have time to do it better with AI. But whenever I do have, I try to push myself. I'm going to do this with AI, and that you're learning as well. But on top of that, kind of staying on top of those newsletters and everything, but I reduced it a lot. There are a lot of people that I consider real role models when it comes to AI. For example, Andrew Ng and Andre Kapati are just one of them. So I follow those people, so I'm sign up for those newsletters. And of course, AI helped me there as well. I do have in the morning, I get delivered news of that day that Claude knows that I'm interested in and might be useful for me to read through. And I also try to spend some time after work to be on top of the things. Like I was happy enough always to be builder as well. And I'm that SaaS group. So I do learn a lot while building for products, but also there's so much for me to catch up that I try to spend at least 1 hour after work and especially a couple of hours during the weekend to go over some new course or maybe the most important bit to build something. I mean, as I said, I'm again lucky that I'm building a lot during my work. But building something that doesn't have anything to do with work, that it's maybe completely different technology that I was not able to use during my work days, is something I usually do on weekends. So overall, more is less, following the right people, reducing the noise so that you don't get overwhelmed, and building. Building during your work days, if you have time and passion and some hobbies, I feel that when you can build in this safe space where there is no team that depends on you, there is no project that might fail due to something that you're building or not, it's probably something that brings you the most of those aha moments and the biggest joy, and you figuring out, okay, I can do that and I can do that better with AI.
Yeah, I think it sounded a bit too much maybe for me when I first heard somebody say it, like, okay, I built something with AI at work and then I go and build something with AI on the weekend. And I was like, oh no, that's a lot, you know, I wanna rest a little bit. But then, you know, for myself, I discovered so many things that I can build with AI that have nothing to do with work, nothing to do with marketing. And it was so much joy that, yeah, I can totally back you up. And then, you know, you kind of free your mind and you did something a bit more creative. with the help of the system. So yeah, it can be a lot of fun. But I wonder, you know, because you've been doing so much with it, what has been your biggest win with AI and your biggest failure where you say, oh my God, okay, that was really a big one?
Great question. Maybe I'll try to keep it really simple. So talking to it instead of typing has been my biggest win. I mean, as weird as it sounds, like I have Whisperflow and I'm not propagating it. You can use whatever tool you want, but I usually don't type almost at all. And right now I have 4 projects where Claude and Codex are running and doing some stuff. Some of them are building and checking something for the products and for the projects I'm building on. Others are checking some Notion pages that I've written. Fourth one is checking linear progress. And all the instructions there were me just rambling and saying to it what I need them to do. And I think that's such a great advantage, just because you can, instead of typing, you can just chat with it. And what I also noticed, like, as you know, context engineering, you've probably been hearing a lot about it. I feel that people are afraid of it, but at the end of the day, it's just giving enough information to your AI to help you out to do the task. And what I found for myself is that I tend to give so much and so better information. Maybe I'm talkative too much, but I feel that just talking, it speeds me up, but also helps AI a little bit more for success, just because I end up sharing everything that's important. Because failure, gosh, I think, like, for the individual use, it they don't hurt that much. Where they do hurt is the ones that I put in the projects. So as I said, like, I've been building a lot throughout my career. There is this saying in product, like, if you're not embarrassed with what you're shipping, you ship too late. I feel with AI, embarrassment comes at a whole different level. So first thing that comes to mind is the project that I worked on at my previous company before SAS Group, where we built multi-agentic system that is, in a way, your data analyst. And this was a little bit over 2 years ago, so our technology was at a completely different level, and it was so freaking hard. But we managed to do it, like, that there was a multi-agentic system that was fetching the data, understanding what's happening. And because it was sensitive data in a way, we did a lot of filtering, and I spent so much time on making sure that this AI that we build doesn't answer the questions that are not related to the data or whatever. And we started with the beta testers, and we got in a call, and they started chatting with it, and every question they asked, the AI was like, sorry, I cannot help you with that. They try another way. Sorry, I cannot help you with that. So I think that was the biggest embarrassment. Like, as you know, I'm always really cautious about guardrails and everything, but it seems there is a way to do a bit of that too much. So that's where I was really embarrassed. And we spent another month of making sure that our AI is actually helpful, not just pushing people away.
Yeah, as that actually sounds so familiar, because, as you know, I had this idea that AI team has been helping me to implement is this Contextor app where we hooked this chat. I don't know, I'm going to explain it, but tell me if it's, like, completely off. This chat interface to all the transcripts that we put from YouTube of every podcast that I've done ever. And what you can do now is you chat basically with any guest that was on the podcast and with, you know, kind of pick their brain, see, you know, if you don't want to look for an exact little piece in a podcast, you can ask, okay, what has Jason Fried been talking about in regards of AI and so on. Long story short, when we were working with it, it was, I believe, first project like that. And we didn't know how it works. So we didn't know that there were supposed to be chunks of information that, you know, AI has to have, and they have to be sufficient to pull something essential from them. So the first time we did them, the chunk that AI was supposed to be analyzing was about 2 seconds. So it's something like, okay. And that's it. And obviously I went there and I was like, oh, okay, now it's going to work. And I asked a question. I was like, I don't know, what is the name of, it was something very random. Like, what is the name of SaaS Group's founder? and the tool went, I don't know. And you're like, no, it doesn't work. What did we do wrong? And then when we realized it was just the chunks of information that we wanted it to analyze were too small, and changed it, and that it started to work. But at first, it was such a big frustration because I thought, oh my God, it's such a cool idea. I mean, it's mine after all. And so, and I wanted it to work so badly that when I saw that, I was like, oh no, what if people use it? And every time they ask something, it's going to say it doesn't know. It's going to be such an embarrassment. But now it works. We're going to put it live very, very soon.
Yes, but I haven't heard that story yet.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. But, you know, I always finish the episode with a hack, you know, and it's with AI. I hope you have something like really hands-on, something that we can all go and apply right after listening, something that SaaS founders hopefully will appreciate, as small or big as it gets.
Oh, really good one again. So let me maybe start with a really small one and hopefully something that's maybe obvious, but I think super helpful. So if you're using ChatGPT or Claude AI or whatever, make sure that you leverage projects. With those projects, you can put in custom instructions, you can add a lot of files, a lot of stuff that you're interested in, and with a minute of your work, you already have your personal assistant that knows everything that you put in there, and then you can ask it to do stuff with every single conversation you run it in it. I know it's simple, but I see people a lot kind of repeating the same context in different messages and then trying to have this 1 million lines long conversation just because they don't want this AI to lose the context that they shared. Like, just build projects and the context will be there and you will have it nicely structured.
Yeah, I remember that one. The first time I hit a limit in the messages to ChatGPT, it was very, very beginning. And I didn't know that you are supposed to have new chats. It was just basically everything, work, not work, this project, that project, just one, like you said, a million line conversation. And then it said, okay, that's it. And to be honest, I was so new to this whole thing. I thought that was it. I cannot use the tool anymore in my life. And I was like, oh my God, I just wasted it on such horrible stuff. Yeah, that was also long ago. But yes, I believe I learned it from you. You shared it at one of the meetings. And the first, yeah, another frustration with projects was that you couldn't, what couldn't you do? Add documents or hook it up to your company knowledge? Something was off.
Yes, yes. So ChatGPT was a little bit frustrating to us, as you know. So for example, some weird constraint was that you can use a connector and nowadays apps in a normal conversation, but you couldn't use them in projects. And what we all do, and you and as well, we do try to connect our ChatGPT because we have the enterprise account with Notion and our Google Drive and anything, because that also makes sure that this is really power muscle assistant for you. And we couldn't do that in projects, so that was frustrating. But luckily enough, they fixed that with the switching connectors to apps. So if you haven't tried it already, do give it a try. It should work in projects as well.
Yes, yes, that's definitely a time saver for me. Well, thank you so much, Velma. I mean, it's been great talking to you as always. I think you're this, you know, powerhouse that really drives AI for all of us. And I haven't seen anyone as excited about it as you are. But yeah, it does the job. Honestly, we're all into AI and we're using so many products and we're finally communicating about it and we have processes that help us do that. So thank you so much for your amazing work. And let's see what 2026 is going to bring to SaaS Group and AI.
It's gonna be big and exciting. That's I'm sure of. And thank you so much. I mean, lovely chatting with you as always. And thank you for everything that you are doing with AI. I mean, I keep telling this is not one person job, that everything that we are achieving at SaaS Group with AI or without it, we are achieving together. So having people open to it and trying and especially sharing, which you have been doing, is, I think, doing the job. So thank you for that as well.
Thank you. All right. And take care. Thanks for listening. SaaS Unbound is brought to you by SaaS Group. We're a long-term home for great B2B SaaS. We buy, keep the team and brand DNA, and help with the boring stuff like hiring and finance so founders can truly focus on building great products. If you're a founder who'd like to be featured or explore an acquisition, reach out through the form on our website or email me at anna@saas.group.